I have all these old sayings that my kids often joke with me about when I use one of these old sayings. You probably have some too that you picked up along the way that you say. One of them is I say, you're a sight for sore eyes. And I'm telling you what, I don't even know for sure what that means, but you guys really are. I am so happy to be here today. I just can't tell you. If I don't seem that way, I'm just trying to pace my strength a little bit this morning. And such a blessing, such a privilege to be here. You know what? I think laughter is good. And I think laughter in the house of God is even better. So I'm going to share a couple of... These are just plain dumb, okay? I'm just telling you right out of the gate. They're just plain dumb. But maybe you'll get a laugh or two, okay? So just hang in there, all right? So, I'll drink you under the table. That's what I whispered to my coffee this morning as I hid from all those morning people. Jesus can walk on water. I can walk on cucumbers. Cucumbers are 96% water. Therefore, I'm 96% like Jesus at this point. Yeah, that's a dumb one, but anyway. If you see me talking to myself, please go away. I'm self-employed and I'm having a staff meeting, okay? All right, you know, I'm so glad to be back with you guys. It's been a tough few weeks. And like Tracy said, don't worry, I'm not contagious any longer. But it's been a real roller coaster of how I have felt physically and emotionally. And I will tell you, I think there's a real sense of spiritual warfare all around this COVID thing. I felt it very, very real in my own soul. One of the toughest things about this journey early on for me was that I didn't get to be here to conclude our 21 days of prayer and fasting with you guys. That's never happened before. In fact, I don't think I've ever missed two consecutive Sundays in the history of the church from sickness, ever. My wife said at one point she hadn't seen me that sick in all of our 33 years, probably true. So if you'll forgive me, I'd like to do a little bit of catch-up this morning because I feel a little behind in regard to what I was going to say and how I wanted to lead us into this new year and this new season. This crazy virus hit me about 15 days into the fast. I had sensed the Lord calling me to fast the whole 21 days, just a water and juice fast, basically, no food at all, except communion. And let me tell you, when you get a pretty good ways in, that little communion wafer, you really savor it. You know what I'm saying? Dropped about 16 and a half pounds through that time. By the way, there's a big difference in a fast and a diet. A diet changes the way you look, but a fast changes the way you see. When I got sick, I asked the Lord to help me to make it through. Quite honestly, it was really, really difficult. And several nights I lay there thinking, if I just ate, this is going to make this a lot easier and a lot better. And one of the things that I deal with oftentimes when I'm in the midst of a prolonged fast is just getting so incredibly cold. We went out one day before I'd gotten COVID and bought an electric blanket, which I was thankful to the Lord for. I had that thing cranked up just to keep my feet warm at points. But, you know, it might have been the hardest thing I've ever done, honestly. But I'll be honest with you, I was hungry for God, and I did not want to give up on my fast. In fact, one of the things that I like to say is that this church was founded on fasting and prayer. From the very beginning, we've set aside time at the beginning of the year as a church, always, 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 to seek God with prayer and fasting. It's not hard for me to say before you today, I don't see myself as some kind of great preacher or great leader, but one thing I feel like that we've done right is to seek God first. And I just want you to know this morning, I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for a move of his power in our midst. And I have a friend who says this, and there's so much truth behind it. What you build it on, you must maintain it on. And one of the things that we've been absolutely focused on here at New Song is building it on dependence on God. Amen. One of the themes that I was hoping to talk to you about during our prayer and fasting was this theme, and I'll get to it here. Our message today is called A Clear Focus. This theme of return to me in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. There's lots of distractions in our world. There have just been so many, and I think we so desperately need a clear focus as we move ahead. We must not drift. We must not lose sight of God. We must not lose sight of the purposes that he's calling us into these days. Amen? Even now, declares the Lord, return to me. A little further down in the chapter, Joel 2:25, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. For a lot of folks, 2020 was a year of great loss. And I just want to declare over you today, God wants to give back to you what you lost in this past year. He wants to restore finances that were taken away, relationships. My goodness, I know some people who have not for almost a year now hugged their grandbabies because of quarantining. God wants to restore hope. He wants to restore vision. He wants to restore health. If we'll return to him, he'll return to you. And he will bring back much of what's been lost. Amen. Can you say amen to that? I want to focus this morning a bit on this verse, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I want you to notice here, Jesus didn't say, I will build a church, I will build the church, I will build some church. He personalized it. I will build my church. Very personal focus that Jesus has for his church. He loves his church. And by the way, I don't think everything out there that parades under the name church is the church that Jesus is building, by the way. I love the days early on when God called Tracy and I to plant this church. We quite honestly, it was an unexpected thing for us. We really didn't have that in the forefront of our hearts. God surprised us. But in those days, everything was a miracle. And God showed up a lot. It was just awesome. Here we were, this clean slate. It's just Tracy and I and a vision from the Lord. What do you want to do, God? We knew there were lots of good churches in the city, and there still are, but we felt God calling us to do something a bit different, to have a bit different type of church. But as we trusted the Lord, I can remember in the early days just believing God for $200 in the offering. Lord, please, $200 in the offering, Lord. It was such a miracle when God did it, and so many other things were too. But in those days, God was calling us and helping us define our distinctives and what makes us us. And I want to share a few of those with you this morning. And I got to tell you, I might be a little bit tired on the outside, but I am passionate for Jesus on the inside, folks. And here's one of the things I would want to declare, and we've declared from the beginning of this church. I see a church where people have found a real relationship with God instead of religion, and where living for God is no longer a duty, it's a delight and a joy. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but church should feel like a breath of fresh air. Church should feel like a place of joy. Church should be a place you want to come to. Church should be a place where you leave feeling alive and encouraged and strengthened and ready for whatever the week lays before you. But it's interesting, even in the days of Jesus, Jesus spoke of a generation who would lose their passion for the Lord, who would lose sight of what church was really meant to be. In Matthew 15, 8 and 9, he says, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings, they're just human rules. They're coming to worship, but they're not really worshiping. They're straining to give their tithe, but their heart isn't in it. Maybe they're even doing their daily Bible readings, but they're not enjoying them. Their hearts are drifted. They've lost their passion for the Lord. They're doing what others have told them to do, but their heart really isn't there. And because of that, it's in vain. Church was never meant to be a bunch of human rules, boring, sad, can't wait till it's over type thing. Some of you've heard, I heard my story. I didn't come to Christ till I was 15 years old, and I can only remember just a handful of times I ever went to church even before that. And it could honestly be it was only one time, and I say just a handful because I want to give a little bit of possibility there that I've forgotten. The one time I remember going to church, here's what I thought about it. I hated it. I couldn't wait to get out. I remember being dressed all up and thinking, I can't wait to get out of these clothes. I remember thinking, I can't wait until this thing is over. It absolutely had no meaning to me whatsoever. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, church was never meant to be a bunch of human rules. It was never meant to be boring or sad. And you should never, ever, ever feel like you just can't wait till the thing's over. Here's what the word says, Romans 12, 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. What if we all did this? What if we all made this one of the verses for the year for us? That we just determined in our hearts, I'm not going to lack in zeal for Jesus this year. I'm going to keep my spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You know what the word zeal in Greek is? The word zelos. And it means this literally, white, hot, and boiling over. Never be lacking. Always be white, hot, and boiling over is what Paul is saying. And I got to tell you this, has been my experience with Christianity. Christianity is the most passionate thing on the face of this earth. And if you haven't experienced it that way, you haven't really entered into what Christianity is all about. Keep your spiritual fervor. Listen, I'm here this morning just to fan into flame, any of our little embers that have gotten small and dying out through 2020. I want to fan into flame that white hot and boiling over flame for Jesus. Come on, everybody. Jesus deserves a white hot bride who's deeply and passionately in love with him and full of zeal and spiritual fervor. I'm on a mission to ignite a fire for the Lord. Some people have such a misconception about Jesus. I love this passage in John chapter 2. Sometimes we look at Jesus as gentle, oh Jesus. But look at this. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. And Jesus made a whip from some ropes, and he chased them all out of the temple. He drove the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here and stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. Good old gentle old Jesus. Over in the corner, finding some rope and twisting it together and methodically, patiently making a whip because what he saw was so grievous. Jesus wanted people to be able to come into the temple, to be able to find God, to be able to experience him truly, to be able to connect with God through prayer. And yet all these things were coming in and crowding out the true meaning and true purpose of the Father's house. passion for God's house will consume me. And let me tell you, folks, that day people saw his passion. And I just got to tell you, entering into 2021 as a church, and yes, this last year and this year even has been very difficult, but I'm telling you this, I want to be a church that never loses its passion. There's four things in Scripture that we're to be passionate about, four that are mentioned over and over again. One is passion for prayer. It's written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. One of the things I just so grieved my heart was not to be here that last week of prayer and fasting when we're gathering together, praying together. We're to be passionate about prayer. There's something about the way we tend to pray that needs to change. Jesus was passionate about prayer, but when we pray, oftentimes heads go down, voices go down. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says they raised their voices together. It was loud and passionate, and sometimes the very places they prayed were shaken because of the power of their prayers. James 5:16 says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I love that word fervent stuck there in the middle of that sentence. It's not just the effectual prayer of a righteous man. It's the effectual fervent prayer. That word fervent could be a synonym to the word we talked about earlier, zealous, white hot and boiling over. The effectual white hot and boiling over prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let me ask you a question. If someone were to describe your type of prayer, your type of prayer life, do you think they would in any way, shape, or form grab hold of that word fervent? Yeah, when he prays, man, it is white, hot, and boiling over. I love praying with him because when we get together and pray, he stirs my heart. He lifts my faith. He causes me to pray more passionately. Listen, I've had some incredible moments in my Christian life that I'm so incredibly thankful to God for. I've met some incredible people along the way. One was a man named Leonard Ravenhill, who was a spiritual hero and mentor to me, and through his books and other mediums. And one day I got the opportunity to pray with Leonard Ravenhill. It was an incredible privilege, incredible honor. I was invited to a small gathering, a small prayer gathering, and he fell on his knees and he began to take hold of the altar of God. And let me just tell you, folks, I would have described that man's prayers as fervent, white hot and boiling over. We need to be passionate for prayer as we move into this year. Make prayer our first response, not our last resort. If you don't have one of these, let me know. I'll get you one, but got my Pray First bracelet on to keep that in front of me constantly. Secondly, we need to be passionate for praise and worship. This is the second area that Scripture talks a lot about with passion. And by the way, we're New Song. Do you notice that on the doors you came in? You know why we're called New Song? Because we're called to sing a new song of praise to our God that many will see and hear and fear the Lord. We're people of praise and worship. We've gone through a tough stretch. We need to be, as a church, fervently praying over our praise and worship team because they've been in a spiritual war. Glenn's been sidelined for months. Praise God for sweet Alexis rising up and leading us. We need to see God raise up more folks to be a part of our worship team. We need God to bring more folks in. We need to see this platform filled with people raising praise and worship to God. We also, by the way, need a youth pastor. Wouldn't it be cool if God sent us a youth pastor who was also a passionate worship leader? He could do that. I don't know if that's his plan, but I'm fervently praying. I refuse to let our worship get all conservative. I want it to be passionate for God. This week, Alexis touches in with me and says, hey, I want to do a new song, Fix My Eyes on God. I was like, yes, let's do it. Sometimes we get so fickle and so weird about worship. Some people in the midst of worship, you know, I just don't like that song. Well, let me just give you a little bulletin here. It's not about you, buddy. It's supposed to be about God. We're not worshiping you. Sorry if you don't like it. We're worshiping God, and he kind of enjoys it. He loves that song. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Listen, some of us, we need a new level of freedom when it comes to worship. It's about all the freedom we got right here for some of us. We can get your toe tapping, you know. Man, we feel like we've really done something. Listen, let it go right on up your leg and let it come out your arms and come out your mouth and let it be all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Because listen, when it comes to, oops, I'm getting ahead of myself here. When it comes to worship, the Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. I've decided this year I'm going to lead this church back to the heart of God, folks. Back to Jesus as our first love. Back to returning to God, returning to his ways. I love King David. He was a passionate worshiper. He had the greatest favor with God. God said about David, my covenant will always be with your house. In Jerusalem will always be called the city of David. God honored him. He was a royal mess up, but God honored him because he was such a passionate worshiper. He loved God with all of his heart. Listen, I got to tell you a quick story. When the Ark of the Covenant of God, which was the visible, tangible presence of God in that day and time, had been stolen and it had been recovered, and David went and with all the priests, and they were going to bring it back to Jerusalem. But it was an 8-mile journey back to Jerusalem. As they started their journey, they took 6 steps. And David said, stop, stop. We must offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And we must worship him right now. After they did, they took another 6 steps. And David said, stop, stop, stop right there. And they offered another sacrifice. And they offered another time of worship to God, because God is holy and God is awesome and God is worthy. I don't know if you see where this is going or not, folks, but for over 8 miles, that's over 14,000 steps. Every 6 steps, that's 2,347 sacrifice and praise breaks over that 8 miles. But that's how passionate David was to honor God and to honor God's presence. Come on, church, clap your hands, all you people. If you're going to be fanatical about anything, why not be fanatical about our God? Because our God is awesome and he is worthy. There's a sign, I understand, I've heard this story at Camp Lejeune, where a lot of F-16 pilots are trained, and my understanding is the airstrips are fairly close to the highway, and sometimes when those F-16s were taken off, man, they'd pop with that sonic boom as they're breaking the sound barrier, and sometimes it would cause wrecks, literally, because people were so surprised. So they put up a sign. You gotta love this sign. Pardon our noise. It's the sound of freedom. Hallelujah. Can I just say to you, we got greater freedom in Jesus, folks. He's freed me from such messes, such mess ups, so many problems, so many issues, so many addictions. Listen, it feels great. I'm ignited by God. I'm on fire. My flame is fervent because Jesus has set me free. And I want to passionately praise him. And I want to passionately live for him. We give God what he deserves, not what we feel. That's such a key in worship. You want to understand how to worship? Look at the word. Look at the word. Don't just do it because of your own preferences. Look at what God desires. Number 3, there needs to be a passion for purity restored to the church. there's a persistent pattern in Scripture. Where there's a passion for God, there's a passion for purity. And let me tell you, folks, I see the world changing all around us, and I don't know exactly where it's going, but it's not going in a good direction. But I know this, I know who I'm going after with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. I'm going after God with everything I've got. There's a story in the Old Testament, and it's a rough one. Some of you know the story of Barak hiring Balaam to curse the people of God. Three times he tries it, he can't do it. Every time he blesses them instead. But maybe you don't know the remainder of that story. They finally got a breakthrough because Moab found a way to seduce Israel. The men began to indulge in sexual immorality with the Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. And Scripture says because of this, Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, to a foreign god, literally. In the midst of this, a plague breaks out. God's heart is so broken over the sin that's gripped the land, the impurity that's come into the land. And there's a man named Phinehas. Scripture says that literally Moses is speaking to the people of God, and in the midst of Moses speaking, here comes an Israelite man and a Moabite woman heading into the tent to do impure things. And it says Phinehas took a spear and he walked right into that tent and he drove it right into the Israelite man and through the Moabite woman. The plague had broken out against all of Israel. And in that moment, the plague ceased. And Numbers 25:11 says this, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites since he was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. Did you catch that? God is zealous for a holy people. God is zealous for us to be a voice and not just an echo of the culture we're living in. To stand up, to say what is right, to raise our kids with a heart to be godly, a heart to love God, a heart to do the right things. To stand up and be an example that not everybody in this world has to give in to the sinful inclinations of this world. Number four, God calls us to have a passion for people. You know John 3:16, God so loved the world. And whatever God so loves, you and I ought to be passionate about too. And he is absolutely passionate about people. In Acts chapter 20, Paul says, you know, my life is not even worth anything unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I want you to remember this morning, folks, a life not lived for others is not a life. If you're discouraged or you're bored or you find yourself quickly getting discouraged and bored, you've probably made life too much about your own self. Start to live for others. Start to find ways to bless others. Start to find ways to minister to others. Start to find ways to get out of your walls and to get outside and to do some things that are going to make a difference for others. We start our new years with all these selfish resolutions. They don't take us far because they're all almost self-centered. Revelation 2:4-5, I'll end with this today because this is my passion and what we're talking about today. Yet I hold this against you. This is Jesus speaking to the church. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider just how far you've fallen and repent and do the things you did at first. Do you know, repent, it's the most positive word in the Bible. It just means to turn around and change your thinking. Say, God, help me to think like you. Help me to live different. If you've let that fire go out, listen, ask God to start it anew. Ask God for the fire. Be bold. Come back. Return to him and let him return to you that which has been stolen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? God, just convict us all. Convict us all. Show us all, Lord, where we need to repent, where we need to turn, where we need to change our thinking, where we need to align our hearts with you. Show us all, God, how you want to lead us into this year, how you want us to be passionate about your praying and seeking your face, passionate about praise and worship, passionate about doing what you've called us to do, God, being who you've called us to be, oh God. Help us to be a passionate people, white hot, boiling over with passion for you. We just say, God, here we are. Here's our lives. They're yours. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me today? And could you give the Lord praise this morning for his goodness and kindness to us? Let me pray over you as you're dismissed today. Thanks for coming. I might be a little weary on the outside, but I'm passionate on the inside, folks. Passionate for us to be the people God's called us to be. So, Lord, go with us. Let your face shine upon us. And let your light shine through us to the world all around us. And help us to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for coming. Hope to see you again. Hope to see you Wednesday night, by the way. That'd be awesome. God bless you.